I guess the levels are running a little higher than...
When I see you when we're at school, I just... I don't let you... Because you're a slut, and I think that's real cool now. I don't want to get around, but it's all I got to tell. When you're both not around, never, never see it back. I just want to get around, so I'll let you know.
When I had it right on there, though, you said it. Enemy Combatant Radio, live in the studio at the Redstone Building, Rad Radio. We have Steve Willis on the phone. Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Okay. We're going to give our listeners an update on the campaign to keep the parking garage out of Golden Gate Park. Why don't you tell people why this battle's going on and what the... powers that be are trying to do with this parking garage?
So, well, let me clear something up real quick. When you talk about keeping a parking, did you say keeping a parking garage out of Golden Gate Park?
Yeah. Did I say it wrong?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that
it's already in there.
The court had ruled in the case last August that a second garage entrance and exit planned for inside the music concourse violates Prop J, the law under which this whole project is being authorized. The project managers, the Music Concourse Community Partnership, has gone ahead and actually built both underground garages. One is in front of the DeYoung Museum, and they actually began destroying the pedestrian tunnels a year ago this week in order to make way for that northern garage to serve the DeYoung Museum. And then, of course, they've almost completed a second pod to the south in front of the Academy of Sciences, which is another 400-car garage, and yet they have still no approved, court-approved or validated project. They don't have an approved design or approved funding from the city, and yet they've done this. So it's indicative of the kind of power that we're dealing with here. We're talking about the folks that have been running San Francisco for forever.
Bunch of Democrats. Steve, what frame for the listeners why activists are fighting this project so that people are clear?
Okay, well, I can only speak for the activists who I've known over the last 9 years who oppose it. And the reason is that this parking garage is a complete violation of the Golden Gate Park master plan. Now, just the thought of building an 800-car parking garage in Golden Gate Park made a lot of people sick. And there was a major rally to this challenge when the DeYoung Museum first put the initiative on the ballot in November of 1996, and it was defeated by voters who said, we absolutely do not want an underground parking garage inside the park, especially one whose design had not been shared with the public and whose cost would be borne by the public through a revenue bond. So in November of 96, they said no way to a revenue bond-funded garage or a garage whose design nobody had a chance to see at that point. So I think there are still people that are just as sick about the idea of a garage as they were then, but as you can see, the political realities are so harsh that the power behind the DeYoung Museum and the Academy of Sciences and even the court have basically all agreed with the city that the city can go forward with this project, and even the court said that the project goes forward at their own risk, but there appears to be no risk unless it can be generated at grassroots, and unless it can be generated at City Hall to put pressure on Mayor Newsom, you know, one of the most popular mayors in the entire country because of some of the courageous stands that he's taken on gay marriage, and yet here he is getting ready to turn over Golden Gate Park to some of his closest supporters, the people who actually financed his campaign into office, and it's absolutely atrocious what they're doing here.
Okay, so we know we have a useless mayor, but behind the scenes, you were talking to me about that some of this cronyism with the courts and maybe the supervisors and the contractors, the profiteers who are building this is much more than typically has been in these kind of projects. So spell out some of the collusion that's going on right around us with no city officials standing up to.
Sure. Well, I wouldn't say that no city official has stood up. Supervisor Ross Mercurini, who just took over District 5 as a representative there from Matt Gonzalez, who stepped down from political office, Ross has made some very pointed statements against this type of land use decision, which sets up a precedent for building more parking garages under our other city parks, and basically commercializing the commons. There was never a discussion about transferring the control of Golden Gate Park into the hands of a private corporation headed by a billionaire financier, Warren Hellman. You know, another one of the most respected civic leaders in San Francisco on one hand, and then here in Golden Gate Park, absolutely destroying three historic pedestrian tunnels in order to make way for the cheapest possible goddamn garage design that they could come up with. And, of course, the original garage design was created by Bechtel Corporation. Their project manager, who sold this beautiful vision of a pedestrian oasis to the voters 7 years ago, was actually hired from Bechtel and now works for Warren Hellman, and he's one of the board members of the Music Concourse Community Partnership. His name is Dick Young. And these people stand a profit somehow by what they're doing. This is a small group of investors who have managed to win the support of a largely Democratic board of supervisors, including Supervisor Peskin, McGoldrick, and Sandoval, who made specific demands of this corporation over a year ago. About a year and a half ago, they were told that they would have to produce a letter of guarantee of $15 million for uncollected pledges that were made for the garage financing. This demand of the board was never complied with. And there was also, with the court order of last August, they were supposed to move with extreme haste to find a solution to their illegal second garage entrance inside the park, and that was to provide a dedicated access to and from that garage entrance. Now, they have decided they're going to widen MLK Drive from 9th and Lincoln on the south side of the park by the county fairground building to four traffic lanes and call two of those lanes dedicated, even though there's nothing dedicated about them. Intra-park traffic would be able to move in and out of MLK Drive. In other words, people could drive into the park, drive around, look for free parking first, and then if that doesn't work, then they can drive into the garage. And voters never approved a second garage entrance inside the park. They also never approved a 35-year ground lease, which was carried by the Finance and Audits Committee a year and a half ago. Those are the same supervisors, Peskin, McGoldrick, and Sandoval, some of our progressive Democrat politicians here in the city, have basically carried a ground lease for the project sponsors, which will give them a financial hold on our park and an actual lease control of the park for the next 35 years. This was never discussed in public.
Yeah, and how have the courts been? It seems like the courts are in collusion with the companies, and I say that because I don't know a lot, but one of the judges had acknowledged that there's going to be litigation on whether that garage should be there or not, but just allowed the company to keep building it, apparently, at its own risk while it waits.
I'm not going to characterize the court as being in collusion with the project sponsors. I would just have to say that the court has listened very strongly to their side and the city's argument that they are the authority in this matter and that the court should defer to the city in its ruling. Well, last August, the court did all but approve the project except for the illegal garage design. Now, when the partial or it's not a full ruling, it's a partial ruling. It was tentative, and it was based on their finding a solution to their to provide dedicated access to the second garage that's inside the park. Now, here we've moved past 7-8 months. It's been since they were ordered to solve this problem. And like I told you a minute ago, widening MLK Drive is not a solution at all. The solution to this is to not build a second garage entrance. So when the voters were shown a wonderful four-color graphic of a pedestrian oasis back in 1998, it has no through park traffic in the concourse. It's only pedestrians, bicyclists, people pushing baby strollers. This was an absolute, it looks almost like something from France, okay, just an open promenade where people are having a good time, unfettered by cars and buses and the stinky fumes that are going to come out of these motorized vehicles. So here we come full circle 7 years later, and the court made a valid ruling last August that this design does not fly, and basically the court has been ignored by these people. The people behind the project, Warren Hellman, Michael Burke, Dick Young, and others, are apparently above the law, and they feel like there is no risk to go forward and build. In fact, last Wednesday they started building the actual second garage entrance inside the park. So, I don't want to just belabor the point of how egregious their violations are by just going forward and building, even though they don't have a court-approved project. What I'd like to point out is that the pedestrian oasis and any of the amenities that we were originally promised back 7 years ago in regard to a pedestrian oasis, they're simply not going to happen unless people build up pressure on the mayor and on the board of supervisors, who have been like a bunch of ostriches sticking their heads in the sand and ignoring the fact that they have power over the ground lease. While the court may not have approved the ground lease for 35 years, the MCCP treats it as if it's a valid document now. Now, if the Board of Supervisors would do the same thing, they would be able to take control of the project and demand that the auto-free concourse be built. And oddly enough, public tax dollars are going to, or I should say park bond improvement funds are being used to restore the concourse surface. The private contractor building the garage didn't even plan on using their own philanthropic donations to do that. So if the public is going to pay for the restoration of the surface area in the music concourse, it doesn't make sense to let the design be dictated by the people who have basically created an illegal design and thwarted the will of the voters at every turn over the last 7 years. In fact, right now there's a new petition that's going around. In addition to receiving hundreds of signatures from residents and over 150 businesses in the Hague and the Inner Sunset opposing the second garage entrance and supporting the opposing the widening of MLK Drive, a new petition is basically demanding that the city build the auto-free pedestrian oasis now with a single entrance only from the north, from Fulton, as approved by the voters, okay, and to oppose the widening of MLK Drive and any other park road to accommodate a garage entrance that was not approved by the voters. And then finally, to oppose any plan by the city to put in metered parking in Golden Gate Park. This is an absolute requirement for this garage to become financially viable. And the voters and taxpayers said, no, we do not want metered parking in our park. And they were torn out a year and a half ago. Well, this is the secret plan coming out of the mayor's office. And this is going to, we see that this is going to create a real obstacle to their going forward with this project. If they can't guarantee the financial viability of a project because there's 5,000 free parking spaces around the garage, then these guys are in a heap of trouble.
Okay, Steve, one more area to look at. You're painting a complex picture of something that's really contentious out here, but there's not much about it in the public discourse, which is mainly corporate press. Mm-hmm. And mostly it seems like the Examiner may be slightly more balanced than the Chronicle when they talk about it, but mostly they just come out when there's something the activists do to get in the way of it, put in abbreviated articles, and then these editorials stating that this has to go ahead, that people fighting it are just in narrow self-interest, and it's a great deal, and it has to be done, presupposing economics and what money is going to bring in the city over ecology, recreation, traffic, everything else. Yeah, talk about the media around it, because I am putting forth that there's some at least subtle collusion around this, even if it's not like some kind of a big planned collusion.
Well, you have to take a look at newspapers like the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner and take a look at the board members of those corporations and just realize that there are interlocking directorships and interlocking friendships in this city that go way, way back, all the way back to the days of PG&E's ripping off the public power system here and violating the Raker Act. Well, it's that same power structure that's behind the garage. It's PG&E's public relations firm and the Downtown Committee on Jobs with the people who sponsored Prop J 7 years ago. And so it's the most powerful corporate interest in this city that has said, this is our park and we're going to do what we damn well please. Now, we'll make all kinds of promises along the way. In fact, the pedestrian oasis, the auto-free pedestrian oasis graphic that was created by Dick Young when he was back at, working as a project manager for Bechtel 7 years ago, is the same graphic that Young uses to raise money from their own members. So they have no problem lying to their own members to raise funds. And, in fact, the vision of a new DeYoung was a stucco vision that had a Spanish style to it, somewhat like the old DeYoung. And if you go into Golden Gate Park today and take a look at the battleship that passes for a new DeYoung, you'll realize that they never would have gotten support had they shown a radical new design like the one that was built in the park. So, yes, this project is surrounded by misinformation and lies that go all the way to the heart of the corporate media here in this city and the power of an advertiser like Warren Hellman, who is on the board of the San Francisco Foundation. He's one of the leading philanthropists in the area, and there's hardly a single nonprofit corporation in this city that does not benefit from the San Francisco Foundation. So let's see, how could we end this on a positive note? I'd like to let you know, first off, that there's only one lawsuit filed in the courts under California Environmental Quality Act. It's the suit that we filed about a year and a half ago. And while the Governor Schwarzenegger in Sacramento and some of his corporate interests are busy trying to destroy CEQA as one of our premier cornerstone environmental laws that served the state for over 35 years, they're busy trying to undermine CEQA in Golden Gate Park. And when I say they, I mean Warren Hellman is a personal advisor, or I should say he's an advisor to the governor, and he's an advisor to San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, who is a product of the same corporate public relations as Prop J was, the Golden Gate Park Revitalization Act of 1998, and also Care Not Cash. Solomon Associates, the downtown interests, have an agenda that is served by having a mayor who will look the other way at this critical time when board and the mayor should be standing up to the corruption that exists in this small nonprofit corporation and taking the reins away from these, I should say, a small handful of reckless Republican radicals who are out to privatize Golden Gate Park. That's what this is all about. It's about a new way of government that you don't have to worry about knowing too much about it, because you're not going to know anything about it. The privatization was never discussed when Prop J was put on the ballot, except for denials that this is not about the privatization of our park. That's what Mr. Hellman was saying 7 years ago. That's what the head of the Concourse Authority is saying today in obscure interviews with a blogger, because they don't want this issue to get in the corporate media at all right now. So we filed an additional lawsuit in January because of the garage entrance inside the park and widening of MLK Drive, and we also found out that information in the original environmental impact report, this is based on a discovery by the University of California San Francisco officials, there was falsified data in the original environmental impact report. Apparently none of this seems to bother Mayor Newsom or the Board of Supervisors, except, like I say, Supervisor Mercurini. So at this time, we're looking at rulings over the next couple of months coming out of the court to address the illegal second garage entrance. And if folks would like to have more information about our suit enforcing the California Environmental Quality Act and the additional complaints that we filed in January, now would be the time to contact us and learn what you can do to support the Legal Defense Fund. And we're in San Francisco. Save Golden Gate Park, the number is 415-621-3090. And this would be a real good time to get involved. If you haven't had a chance to support the lawsuit in any way, please give us a call and let us know what questions you have and if you'd like somebody to come and speak to your group.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve.
Sure, take care.
And that phone number again, 621-3090. And don't forget that the Ambrose Bierce, famous journalist from San Francisco, said that the measure of a gentleman is in his hatred of the DeYoungs.
March! We'll be right back. 7, 8, or 28 years ago, and his first concert in Dolores Park was devoted to the freedom of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and every single time since that time on 9-1-1, Michael Franti has led that fight. He's returned from the Middle East to fight to bring the troops home now, and anywhere there are people struggling for human rights, Michael Franti is in the forefront of it. Let's welcome Michael Franti.
Sometimes just a little bit of love. Black the sun from shining, feel my life in shades of gray. So Lord, if I forgive, so today I pray for grace.
And Mamiya Bujama, or excuse me, that was Michael Franti. Michael Franti from the Mamiya Bujama birthday party here in San Francisco here in the 2005. Now, let's do a little, we know the author of this. He's upstairs and listening.
You can never kill all the bad people, not even with a war. They say now and then how original sin just keeps on making more. But we're killing the bad ones and a lot of the good ones too. Guess we're just making sure, yeah, killing them all, proving that we're pure. They say now and then how original sin just makes us do it all now and again. But I choose to believe it's more about the fix we find ourselves in. So if a man tries to kill me for stealing his land, is he committing original sin? Or is he just protecting his homeland security like I would do if I were here? People, not even with a war. They say now and then how original sin just keeps on making more. Well, we're killing the bad ones and a lot of the good ones too. Guess we're just making sure, yeah, killing them all, proving that we're pure. Yeah, we're killing.
Right. So also at the big rally for Mamiya today was Pam Africa. Great. And she gave a great rundown both on his the condition of his case as well as some other issues related. So we'll run that till the end of the hour. And let's see. So this is Pam Africa.
I get forces in the world, every day I have to go. And that's why we're going to keep going. Please welcome him.
trouble up with everyone today because, check it out, she says, we do not have enough police officers, we do not have enough security guards, so she's going to call the hearing for another day where she'll make a decision whether or not the mayor will get a hearing, a post-conviction hearing, where all the evidence will be put before her and she can judge whether or not the mayor will not be one, judge whether or not she's going to free the mayor because then the evidence frees the mayor. But she's talking about
Thank you. Start taking out